From Philadelphia, it's Torah Talk. Hello everyone, I'm Michael Karasik, and this week we are reading Parshat Metzorah, Leviticus 14 and 15. Leviticus 15 would be a great opportunity to do a podcast directed at urologists, and in fact I have a urologist among my minion mates, but sorry, Larry, I don't know if you listen to the podcast, but if you do, we are not going to be discussing your subject this week. There's going to be a little bit of elementary biblical Hebrew, and after that, a little bit more of a graduate level course that could be called the text of the Hebrew Bible. So here we go. We're at the beginning of Leviticus 15. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Speak to the Israelite people and say to them, when any man has a discharge issuing from his member, he is unclean." And his member has a little footnote A, JPS translation footnotes it, literally flesh. And if you look down at the definition of that word basar in the Hebrew and Aramaic lexicon of the Old Testament, 266 times it occurs in the Bible, with at least 9 different meanings, and some of them have sub-meanings too. Number 1, skin. Number 2, flesh. Number 3, meat or food. That's what kind of flesh we're literally talking about, I guess. Number 4, sacrificial meat. Number 5, flesh as part of the body, euphemistic for the pubic region, Leviticus 15, 2 following and 7. I just read you 2, and we are going to go to the following verse in a minute. Number 6, one's body. Number 7, one's relatives. Number 8, living flesh. Number 9, kol basar, all flesh. Kol basar, meaning man and beast alike, mankind, animals, any human being, every human being, anything that has the misfortune of being alive and aware of its place on planet Earth. But in Leviticus 15:2 and Leviticus 15:3, where we're going right now, it is euphemistic for the pubic region. So here's Leviticus 3 in the translation of the Jewish Publication Society. The cleanness, the uncleanness from his discharge shall mean the following, dash, whether his member runs with the discharge or is stopped up so that there is no discharge, his uncleanness means this, colon. And if you want to know what it means, you can read more on the first page of the handout and even more in your Bibles, Leviticus chapter 15. But your spidey sense should have alerted you whenever the JPS translation uses a dash. There's really a discontinuity of some kind in the Hebrew text of the Bible that they are translating. We turn just for a moment to Baruch Schwartz from the Jewish Study Bible to discuss chapter 15 in general, which he labels as impurity from bodily discharges, concluding the laws of purification from bodily impurities. Remember, 13 and 14 were all about things growing on your skin, or then on animal skin, or then on the walls of your house. And chapter 12 was all about discharging a baby from between your legs, and there's impurity involved with that too. Concluding the laws of purification from bodily impurities, this chapter deals with defilement caused by the flow of life fluids. It's starting to sound like Dr. Strangelove here. The flow of life fluids from the genital organs, semen, menstrual fluid, and the discharge accompanying various urethral infections or gonorrhea. They are treated as facts of nature, some normal, some abnormal. The only sin connected with them is failure to purify oneself from them. And although this paragraph that I put on the handout doesn't say so, that's not sinful by itself. It's sinful to fail to purify yourself from them and then do something that you are supposed to be pure to do, like coming into the temple to offer a sacrifice. But rather than talk about one of the more normal things, we're talking about one of the diseases here, because that verse, the one with the dash in the JPS translation, has a little bump in the highway. So I have it printed in Hebrew for you on the page for those who can read Hebrew, and there's even more on the second page for those who can't read Hebrew. I'll explain about that in a few moments. Vezot tihie tumato bezovo, rar besaro et zovo, o hechtim besaro mizovo, tumato hi. And if you look at that Hebrew verse, which I have clipped from Biblia Hebraica Stuttgartensia, the Bible that scholars of the Hebrew Bible use for its careful notes, there's a little note B after the word mizovo, which more or less corresponds to the phrase before the comma in the JPS translation of Leviticus 15:3, so that there is no discharge, literally from his discharge, mi zovo. There's a little note B in BHS, and B has a squiggle and a G and a plus and a bunch of Hebrew words, which mean those Hebrew words that you see on the page, without vowels, just consonants there, except in one place where they're trying to get you to pronounce it correctly, are found in the Septuagint. That Gothic G is the Greek translation of the Bible, and that squiggle is the Samaritan Pentateuch. Those Hebrew words are found in the Samaritan Pentateuch, and they more or less translate the extra Greek words in Leviticus 15:3 in the Septuagint. What is the Samaritan Pentateuch? The Samaritans are a group. My friend Stephen Fine from Yeshiva University is just now coming out with a new film about them. They're always in the news around Pesach time because they still sacrifice the Passover lamb on their famous mountain, Mount Gerizim, the mountain that the Lord chose according to their Torah. Their Torah is different from the Torah in a standard Jewish synagogue that you might know about, or a Bible that you're going to buy in English. But not all of the changes are Samaritan kind of changes. Some of the changes are differences because the version they started with was different. So if their Torah says Mount Gerizim and the standard Torah doesn't say it, that's because the Samaritans put that in there. But if you are looking at some of the other things, that's because they started with a different version of the Torah than the Jews now have and have preserved in the Masoretic text. So here's a tiny little note from an article by Emmanuel Tov, who more or less has made his entire scholarly career by studying these textual differences. The texts in Leviticus 15:3 and 17:4 at first sight appear to represent pluses in the shared text of the LXX and the Samaritan Pentateuch. That's what the little plus sign in the note says. This is something that was added in. But actually, says Tov, they reflect textual omissions, homoioteluta, in the Masoretic text, the traditional Jewish text of the Torah. What is a homeoteluton, according to the Oxford English Dictionary? The occurrence of similar endings in two neighboring words, clauses, or lines of writing comes from Greek homoios, like, and telute, the end, like teleology. Similar endings as a source of error in copying. And they have a quote from the English Historical Review of 1896, where someone wrote that a clause fell out. According to one of the commonest causes of such omissions in manuscripts, a homoioteluton. Jacob Milgram, in his Anchor Bible Commentary, says, quoting the Hebrew text, "This is his impurity, tumato he," that's the end of Leviticus 15:3 in every version. Before and after this sentence, other texts include additions. For comparison, they are listed in a single column. And in his text that I've clipped them from, he gives you the Septuagint in a Hebrew retroversion, not giving you the actual Greek, but retranslating it back into what it seems the Hebrew text of that Greek would have been, then the Samaritan Pentateuch, and then one that's labeled 11Q. Some of you will realize already from the get-go, 11Q means this text comes from Cave 11 at Qumran. It's one of the Dead Sea Scrolls that preserves some of the text of the book of Leviticus. And it too has a plus in Leviticus 15:3. And he gives English translations for the slightly different Septuagint, Samaritan, and Qumran texts of this verse, and explains 11Q Leviticus, that's the Dead Sea Scroll text, while fragmentary, agrees with the Samaritan Pentateuch and the Septuagint against the Masoretic text in having the addition. The occurrence of bow, the Hebrew word bow, shows that as between the Samaritan and the Septuagint, 11Q Leviticus agrees with the Septuagint and not with the Samaritan text, quoting David Noel Friedman there. All three of the above-cited texts clearly illustrate that the additions to the Masoretic text could have fallen out by homoioteluton. Thus, it is reasonable to assume that the addition is required. That is to say, that the addition of these words, the extra words that we find in the Greek translation, the Samaritan Torah, and the Qumran text, which is the oldest of all three of them. The Septuagint is not in a manuscript from those days, and the Samaritan Pentateuch isn't either, but the Qumran text dates back to the last two centuries before the Common Era. It's reasonable to assume that that addition was in the original version of the Torah. It is, says Milgram, however, difficult to choose among them. Each is plausible. Each stresses the fact that the impurity lasts as long as the discharge. And if that fact that the text is stressing, which is not in the Torah, if that fell out, that would explain why the Torah verse is a little bit awkward. There's a little bit of a bump in the road that JPS is trying to smooth over with that dash and the comma. So what about homoioteluton? I have the Samaritan text in Hebrew at the bottom of page 2 for you with the plus highlighted in blue, and then the text of the Masoretic version of the Torah, the one we the one we use in synagogues, and that is the standard Hebrew text of the Bible. You do not have to be able to read Hebrew to see that the first lines of those texts are essentially the same, exactly the same, except the Hebrew text still has the vowels in it, which were, of course, invented much, much later than these other texts were made. The last two lines are the same. And if you look at where the blue plus is in the Samaritan Pentateuch, you can drop your eye down from that middle line to the last line of that text and see that the first few words that continue after it, four or five words, are almost exactly the same in Hebrew. There's one additional letter and one letter that in handwriting would look very much like the other letter, and it would be quite easy for your eye to jump from the last black word in the Samaritan text past the blue that I've highlighted down to the next black word in that text. And that is apparently what a scribe did millennia ago, giving us the Masoretic text that we use today as the Hebrew Bible. Well, I thought it would be interesting to search the Bar Ilan database, the famous Responsa project, which is really an enormous database of rabbinic literature throughout the centuries. I thought it would be fun to search that for one of the missing phrases, Chatum Bisaro, from the Samaritan Pentateuch, to see whether it occurs, because there are in rabbinic literature some indications that sometimes the rabbis were looking at Hebrew texts matching a different version than the Masoretic text that we have. There's a famous one that I talked about on the podcast, I believe, for Parshat Mishpatim a number of years ago, in the case of the goring ox, where one drop of ink changes a word from guarding it to destroying it, and one of the rabbis in the Talmud cites that destroying text rather than the guarding text. I couldn't find any examples in rabbinic literature of this plus from the Samaritan Pentateuch, and I did find 69 cases where the version that's left in the Torah, O Hechtim Bisaro, Hechtim instead of Chatum, 69 occurrences of that one in later literature. So there doesn't seem to be any indication that people who used the standard text knew this off-brand text. And it could be that because it was in the Samaritan Pentateuch, it was off-limits to them. Well, I will be back with you not next week and not 2 weeks from now, which will be the eighth day of Passover on the diaspora calendar that the podcast follows, but 3 weeks from now for Parshat Acharei Mot. Until then, if you are Jewish, I wish you a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, a happy and kosher Passover. I will be back to discuss Parshat Acharei Mot with all of you 3 weeks from now. Until then, this is Michael Karasik saying thank you for listening.